We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, proudly presented by Emprise Bank. Coming up, the latest episode of No Other Pod.
What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of No Other Pod. Victory Pod episode, I'm going to call it. A six-point weekend for Kansas City Soccer. Our first Victory Pod of 2024. I'm Jimmy, along, as always, with my good buddy, Daniel Kuzner. Dan, have you recovered from the long day that was Saturday?
Listen, I haven't recovered from Danny Rosero and his amazing header.
Ooh.
Because that guy, whoa, if he's coming through the box, get out the way. Get the hell out of the way. What a weekend, man. It was, I started to realize I'm not young. It takes a toll
when
you're out there walking around yelling, you know, losing your voice. Wild times. But we did it.
Yeah.
We made it, and we don't really have to do it again like that. You know, no other games are spread out like that.
Yeah, it was a wild day, obviously, for many of you who were probably at both games. They had the current game and the first game in CPKC Stadium ever. Kickoff was at noon on Saturday, and the 7:30 kickoff for Sporting KC that night. And we were at both games, had a long day. I want to talk a little bit. I know we're going to send you to currently for the 99% of the current talk here, because I don't want to take away from currently, but I got a couple takes that I want and some anecdotes that I want to share from my time in CPKC Park. But before we start talking about that, we did get a new review this week. We did. You want to go ahead and read it for the people?
Sure. Let me find it real quick. Got it right here. Listen, Daniel Gooden, 44, our good buddy Daniel, we know Daniel, said, love the pod. Well, Daniel's no Daniels, man. He knows. Five stars. Love the pod. Made an account on my old iPad. Thought you guys needed a new review. The only SKC and current coverage I will ever listen to. How's your day going? I hope everyone has a great day. Daniel, thank you, man. Days are going well when we get a victory like this. It's exciting stuff.
It's always a good day when we have a victory pod. So thank you, Daniel. Appreciate it. Yeah.
He went in there and must have saw we must have dipped down to a 4.8 aggregate, and he was like, nah, I got to get him back to a 4.9, and he did. So thank you, Daniel.
Well, we appreciate Daniel Gooden, and if you have not yet left a five-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts, please go ahead and do so. It helps us get found by more people, and more people want to hear our voice because we got the best takes.
It makes me feel warm.
I feel hugged when people review me. I need external validation. I didn't get enough love from my parents as a child.
We're getting deep.
I did have therapy today, so Dad, if you're listening, that's not true. I love you. Thank you. You did a great job.
Listen, our parents don't listen at all, but I will tell you something. I'll fix therapy for you right now.
Okay.
It's all about the parents. It's all about the parents. Done deal. You don't have to go to therapy. You're done. Just start to have some recognition that your parents messed you up, and now you got to do a little work to get a little reversal, but also take a little accountability for how you have not broken that cycle that they got you in. Look at this. Therapy with Kuz. I got you.
You've been to therapy before, I can tell.
I've been to therapy school, you know?
Yeah.
No, that that's what it is. And then I'll be sitting there and I'll be like, I'll break them off. I'll be like, I'll stop you right there. I know you're about to say it's about my parents and I'm aware of this. And I therapize myself.
Sometimes it happens. I've done that before. And then there's other times where I've like said something and my therapist will be like, so what I heard is this. And I'm like, mind blown. Holy shit. And I'm like, I said those words and I didn't even realize I was saying it. So,
right. Yeah. They don't like when you cut them off though. When you're like, I know it's about this. And they're like, why do you say that? And I'll be like,
how does that make you feel?
Don't try to ask me questions. I'm aware. All right.
I'm paying you to ask me questions, but I don't want that right now.
I am paying you a lot of money to just sit there and probably write your memoirs. I don't know what you're doing over there.
Let's talk a little bit about the KC Current, because and we're not going to break down the game. Like, currently is there, and y'all get the best current coverage from currently. So make sure you're subscribed if you're not subscribed already. And Dan and Chris will give you the best current coverage that you can ask for on currently.
That's right. That's right. You see me dab? I was dabbing.
I did. Yep. Just like the kids do. That's what they do. That's what makes you cool and young is you dab.
I'm hip, bro.
I got to the game just after 9, like 9:20. I got to the stadium because I'm paranoid with time. And I wanted to be there in plenty of time to get to the stadium because they were saying there was going to be like a ribbon cutting. And our producer Nick's calling you out of touch. Dabbing was cool 10 years ago in 2014.
He's out of touch because he doesn't know what literally and figuratively means.
I got there a little after 9, and it was already pretty busy. Like, there were already, I would say, hundreds of people lined up at the gates that were not going to open up until 10. And then
there were a lot of people already out there, huh?
There were tons of people there.
Like, cool.
Lined up. They had a hype-up squad out there that was doing, like, dances and such. It was pretty cool. And then a little bit before 10, they brought out Chris and Angie Long. They brought out Mayor Q. They brought out Emmanuel Cleaver. They brought out Patrick and Brittany Mahomes. They brought out all sorts of people. And they did like a little speech over by the CPKC train that is going to be running eventually. It's like a miniature train that's going to be running around. It was just stationary this week. But they did like a little speech. Then they did a ribbon cutting. And then they opened up the stadium. And people came in. And almost instantaneously, the line to get into the team store was like 45-minute wait. People wanted to spend some money. But I made a round, and I hadn't been in that stadium yet, and it's pretty cool. So, I you know, there's some logistic things they have to work out still, but went up to the press box. Press box had some really good food. It got very windy on the riverside of the stadium and on the riverside of the press box. That'll be interesting to see if that messes with some corner kicks, maybe. Might see how that impacts the game. Got to talk to NWSL Commissioner Jessica Berman. Got some good quotes from her. So overall, I would say, as far as the first game goes, 10 out of 10 experience. There are some things that could be better, but I'm grading on a curve here. And I'm super excited. I'm glad they got the win. Y'all will break it down, I'm sure, on currently. But I'm glad they got the win. I'm glad they got the first goal in the stadium. And the energy was palpable throughout the whole stadium. So,
yeah. I mean, what more can you ask for your home opener, you know, a new stadium opener? So it was, what's crazy is I hate how sunny and nice it was, but how cold I was.
That is an interesting thing, the way the stadium is built. And this is a noon game, so it's almost as sunny as it's going to get for a game, at least at this time of year.
And, sun didn't touch me until like the very end of the game, and it covered my knees at one point, and that was it.
There were very few people who actually got sun just because of the way the stadium is built and oriented and the big old roof that hangs over both sides of the stadium. So
I'm not going to complain in July. You know, it's going to be, I'll welcome the shade all day, but it was nice. Hey, sun, you know, skin cancer is a real thing. So let's stay out of the sun.
It is. I heard great things about the food by and large, at least compared to other professional sports stadiums. So, you know, little hiccups with the clock counting down instead of up, but they get that fixed and you know, it'll all work out. So I'm excited. I can't wait to be back in a few weeks for the Angel City game. I think that's the next home game, right? And it just got moved time. So should be a good time.
Yeah. Circle back tomorrow, folks. Chris and I are going to break stuff down. Working on securing a player to speak with us about their experience and kind of an all-out profile situation. Might not happen this week. They're pretty crazy over there and pretty busy. So
yeah,
maybe in a week or so. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, good stuff. So make sure you check out currently. For sure. after that game ended, I think we were all on an emotional high. Everybody was super pumped. 12,000 people there. And then we had a little time to kill before we headed on over to the Sporting KC Stadium. I don't know how you were feeling by the time we got to Children's Mercy Park. I was exhausted.
Yeah, because you played VR for an hour. We went to a VR place. And that will kind of take it out of you, dude. We did a little Assassin's Creed VR escape room. When we got out of there, I was like, is this real life? I was a little woozy a little bit, but it was awesome. And we were like stuck at one point, and I was just like, I think we got to climb this. Oh, yep, I'm climbing. Here we go.
It was pretty wild. I'm blanking on the name of it. I'm trying to remember. Disciples of Gaming VR. That's right. We did it, and they had a whole bunch of different things that you could choose from. And you organized it. You picked the Assassin's Creed one, which is probably the one I would have picked too. I'd never done anything like that. We had an hour to like basically navigate through an Assassin's Creed challenge. There were some puzzle elements to it. At one point, you were firing arrows, and I had to grab on the arrows and climb up and over these like giant panels. And it's like my irrational fear that I have whenever I have like a nightmare is I'm like on a wobbly surface really high up. And at one point, I'm climbing across, and I kind of look VR down, and I had that same feeling like I have in my nightmares. So I was like, holy shit. And there's this like cognitive dissonance where I was like, I know I'm safe. I know I cannot fall anywhere. But I was also like, but I can't look down right now because I'm standing on this little plank of wood. And as I'm climbing over, planks of wood are falling down. And I'm like, I'm going to grab the wrong one. I'm going to fall to my death. But we won.
The coolest thing, though, at the very end when we were in a boss battle, this is how out of touch I was, man. I was just so out of it. And I'm decent at video games. I'm decent at VR. But there was a thing. You had to like load the thing, and you had to aim it as we're fighting this big boss. I had the up and down lever, and the two people behind us had to like activate their arrows to make the target active or some shit. And I had the button, the fire button. And I didn't realize this at the time, but I just heard you know, you go fire. And I'm just sitting there like, yeah, fire.
I think I said it again.
Yes, you did. You go fire. And then I'm like, yeah, someone will do that.
I heard the guy, the like game master guy, like in real life, just go, hit the big red button.
Did he say that? Yeah. Didn't hear that. And I was just like, oh, I was so out of it, dude. I was like, oh, I guess I do have a button. Okay. Yeah. I was just
pretty fun.
I was just like, yeah, man, do the thing, Jimmy. You got this. Man. I thought you were just being goofy and saying fire whenever you shot something. I was like, what a dork.
But it was a good time. And I had such like an emotional high throughout the whole morning. And then the VR thing was cool. That by the time I got to Children's Mercy Park for the Sporting game, it was, I don't know if you had this experience. I'm curious if you did, because I had a couple other media members tell me the same thing. Is they're like, it almost feels flat at the game tonight, but I don't know if it's because the energy actually wasn't as high as it normally is, or if it's just because the energy at the current game was like at a 15 out of 10, that there was no way that the Sporting game's energy was going to be able to match that.
Were these people that said that to you, were they at the game as well?
They were there too, yeah.
I think that is an internal feeling. I think it's easy to feel like the energy's flat if your energy's flat. It's like, bring the energy then. You know what I mean? Like, be more uppity. But it's hard, man. I mean, two games in a day? I know they're short games, but like, come on, it's taxing.
Well, it is, and everybody was on such an emotional high from the morning, especially the people who were there. And I bet there were a bunch of people who went to both games.
Like, probably.
I'm sure there were. And to have everything clicking as well as it was for the current, like to get up 5-1 and then to like almost let it slip away, and then people get nervous and it ends 5-4 and you win and you're happy, but you're like, but there's some defensive issues that we kind of got to work through. And so they were just a big emotional swing. But, you know. And I think there was also some nerves about Sporting Kansas City because people knew, unbeaten through three games coming into this game against San Jose team that's beatable. But it's you never are going to say that the fourth game of the year is a must-win game.
Right.
But given how poorly last year started, it almost was as close to a must-win game as the fourth game of the season could be, because if you go through two home games and you can't win either one of them, even if you get a draw, you're like, are we just back in the same hole that we were in a year ago? That's kind of a problem.
Yeah, it was worrisome, man. I You just kind of knew we had to come out. Upon seeing the starting lineup, you know, you hated to see Andreu Fontas out, not even on the bench, just out.
Mm-hmm.
Conversely, it was rumored that Daniel Shalloway was questionable, and he started and played a good amount of the game, so that was nice to see. But I was my main storyline going into that game, man, was to see how Rosario did with new partner mm-hmm. Robert Volader mm-hmm. that he doesn't really start with all the time.
Yeah, Volader, he's one of those U-22 signings from a couple years ago, and there have been times where he's shown flashes that, like, oh, this guy might really be something, and then there's other times, as has happened with every single center back that has been on the roster in the Peter Vermes era, where you get in Peter's doghouse and you disappear for a while. And yeah. So I feel like Danny Rosario, over the last, you know, 8 to 10 games of the season last year, and to some extent even in the first however many games this year, has started to really find his footing as that right center back. And Fontas has been a fine pairing next to him, but I was really curious to see how well a young Volader, who is much more athletic than Andreu Fontas, how is he able to grab hold of this opportunity playing against another athletic, experienced center back, and will he be able to show something that, you know, might give Peter something to think about whenever it's time for Fontas to be healthy again. So,
yeah. Yeah, man.
Good opportunity. Outside of Volader, same lineup from the week before. Memo was still in there in place of Remy Voltaire, although it was notable that Remy was on the bench.
He was. So. That was exciting. I was not, when I saw the lineup, I don't think I looked at the bench, so I did not know Remy was available.
Yeah.
So when he came in at halftime, I was like, well, God dang. Okay, I guess he's here.
Yeah. So it was good. Other than that, you know, expected lineup and about the same. For San Jose, you always know Christian Espinoza, it's going to be scary. You always know Jeremy Obobese could be good. Carlos Grezo, Jackson Yule. These are solid players, but it's a beatable team. So was certainly looking forward to it. Let's take our break before we take too much of a deep dive into this game. So we'll take our break right here, and then we'll be right back.
We appreciate you supporting KC Sports Network by listening to our podcast. You have helped us become the highest-ranked Chiefs podcast network in 2022 and 2023. And don't forget about our daily Substack newsletter, the best written analysis you can find on the Chiefs straight to your inbox every day. kcsn.substack.com.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know, I got to tell you, there was a fun little thing at the VR place where at the very end, it like took our picture like three times.
Oh, that was fun.
But it was like us as our character and we don't get those pictures at all. It was just kind of like a fun little thing. And you were like holding a bucket over my head. And yeah. I just grabbed it and threw it away.
It would be fun if they like could somehow capture those pictures and like email it to you after.
That'd be cool. I threw your bucket. And you're like, I know, I'm sad.
I tried to make like a sad looking face with my character, but it's like
I was throwing cross chops at everybody. Just
the old GX. It was fun. I enjoyed it. Definitely
had cool, man. For $30, I mean, you can't ask for much better of a time. I think that's cheaper than some actual escape rooms, you know?
Yeah, and I mean that's the thing. We had an hour, and it's basically a themed escape room, and they had all sorts. They had like a Christmas themed one that I saw, like a poster for that you could do. I wouldn't do that now, but at Christmas,
yeah,
it's fun.
They had like a Chernobyl one, some like House of Ashes looking that was like creepy looking. I was like, can you imagine doing like a haunted house thing?
Man, horror games,
no?
Or anything already is a little touchy for me. A horror VR game, I would shit my pants.
I have Nights at Freddy's
VR game, a VR studio, and I would be like, I can't go to the sporting team
and do that.
Home and take a shower.
You'd be like, guys, I got to go. We're like, what? We just got here. We have the Five Nights at Freddy's game for our Meta Quest.
In VR?
Yeah, dude.
Absolutely not.
I know, absolutely not. Marissa was doing it, and I was just enjoying watching her do it.
Nope.
And then she's like, you do it. I go, no, thank you.
which Five Nights at Freddy's is it? The first one?
Or do they only
have one for VR?
Or it's like a package. I think it might have a couple different games because she like had to repair like a ventilation shaft.
Oh, that's the third one, I think.
Okay, so I think it has like all three or whatever. And she would hear shit and she'd have to look and there'd be like an animatronic that would have to retreat because it was coming for her.
That's the ones that have like the ghost animatronics that like pop in your face and then all the shit starts breaking. You have to repair the cameras and everything. Like
something like that.
That's too much, man.
It's a lot, man. I'm like, why did we buy this game?
Yeah, there was I haven't actually played Five Nights at Freddy's myself, but I watched some YouTube videos of people doing it, and I jump with fear watching people play it, because, like,
yeah,
goddamn fox will pop out of nowhere, and I literally am like, holy shit.
So that's why I stick to my sandwich-making game in VR.
You're like, hold on, let me get a little bit more turkey.
I look over, I have customers at my window, and I'm like, all right, they want this ingredient, and you just build sandwiches, and you serve them on their way.
You're just playing VR version of the bear.
It's fantastic. It's a fun time. Sometimes I'll get all sweaty because I'm like, oh, I've been in it for a while.
You're yelling. You're like, pick it up. Let's go. Oh, boy. So this game, it's an interesting game if you look at sort of how it broke down statistically. Obviously, Sporting Kansas City won 2-1. But this wasn't the typical sort of style that Sporting Kansas City plays. So we do, you know, I continue to have some concerns, I'll say, about offensive output. Not because we scored two goals, obviously that's fine, but five shots, three shots on goal, I don't know how sustainable it is to score two goals on only taking five shots, three on goal. That's a little concerning. Two goals is great, only one really from open play, still a little concerned. Now, it was a goddamn gorgeous goal that we'll talk about, but my main takeaway is I'm happy, and I think when this team is firing on all cylinders, it looks great. I'm not ready to sit here and say like, oh yeah, we're unbeaten through four, we got twice the points we had through the first 10 games last year, I feel like we're a contender, because I don't think we're in that tier.
No.
So
no, last year was an anomaly, man. And this is, you know, you don't want to jump the gun, right? Don't put the cart before the horse situation. It's cool to see you above the playoff line so early. You're not at the bottom. You could have zero freaking points right now, like San Jose, which I can't imagine being a fan of them. Like, that sounds incredibly frustrating, not even to have a draw through that many games. But dude, I mean, they outshot us 13-5. Tim Melia had to, you know, really stand on his head again for five saves. He's good for it, man. Tim, Tim does not get all the appreciation in the world, and he quietly does the right stuff.
Yeah, he's been real good. There have been some mild concerns about some of his like punching ability coming out and trying to clear the ball, and there have been a couple goals he's given up in the past couple of games, you know, two or three games, because he hasn't really connected with it in the way he should. And, you know, it's a very small sample size. We're talking two mistakes here through the first four games. You know, if that rate keeps up, obviously that's something to talk about, but very easily could just be early season, you know, jitters, being out of form. But yeah, Tim he's saved a lot more shots that should be goals than he's given up goals that should be saves.
Totally. Yeah, 100%, man. And he's still the guy we know. You know what I mean? He's awesome. Also knows how to play the game. Like sometimes I see him at the end of the first half or something, kind of doing a little cheeky time wasting here and there. I'm like, look at you, man. If you were the other team right now, I'd be so fucking pissed.
Yeah. He's got that, Peter likes to call him sort of like the street smarts. He was like, typically Liga MX or CONCACAF teams really know how to do that stuff. And Tim didn't used to do it. But he's certainly sort of grown into that part of his game, I would say.
Take control. Run the game, man. He's that. It all starts back there with him. So, I mean, take your time. Let people get a breather. And as a field player, I'm sure someone like Daniel Shallowy is happy for a breather who's been making these streaky runs up and down the wing for 35 minutes.
Yeah. Did you notice how early in the game when – Sporting got two relatively early goal kicks. I think it was before even San Jose scored. I don't know if they were just trying something different, but there were two goal kicks where they did not have Tim Melia take the goal kick. They had Robert Volader take the first goal kick, and they had Danny Rosero take the second goal kick. Now, Volader in particular just ended up passing it to Tim Melia, and he ended up booting it down. But Rosero, I think, might have passed it out wide to Jake Davis. And I thought, this is an interesting... I don't know if it was... I didn't pay close enough attention for the rest of the game to really determine if that was something they continued to do. I don't think it was from an injury for Tim, but that was an interesting wrinkle that I noticed that I kind of want to keep watching and just figure out if they're trying to do something different. I'm not sure.
Yeah, for sure. That is different. I know when I briefly played goalie in Chicago, I did not want to take goal kicks because I just didn't have the boot. So I made other people do it.
Yeah.
Maybe Tim was just feeling kind of off. He's like, I don't know. I'm not, my plant leg's kind of bothering me or something, you know?
Well, that's what I wondered. But after Volader passed it to him, he ended up booting it down the field anyway.
Yeah.
That's why I was like, well, maybe it's not, I don't know. Maybe it's just a different little look that it also could be Peter. He's always thinking about stuff. I wouldn't be surprised if he does something like that to get it on film. And then like later in the year, they'll try a different wrinkle with it somehow. I'm not really sure why. There's only so many things you can do with a goal kick.
But, yeah, and it's also such a small thing. It's like it's almost not worth asking in like post game or something. Like they'd be like, "What? You noticed that little detail?"
That's the type of thing where if it happened again, like I don't know that I'd ask Peter. I might ask Tim in the post game, but we'll see. You know, we'll see if they do it again on Saturday against LA. But the one thing about this team that we have consistently talked about, and it sucks because I don't want to keep bringing this up, but it seems like it continues and continues and continues to be a problem, is set-piece defense. Whether it's corner kicks or just a regular free kick or whatnot, this seems like this is a consistent problem with this team that is not getting fixed, and it's frustrating because in the 11th minute, San Jose got a corner kick, and then Vitor Costa just sort of gets away from, I think it was Memo who was guarding him, and then gets a free touch on the ball and just taps it right in, and there's not anything Tim can do about that one. And they went down 1-0 early.
Yeah, I mean, if there's one thing to be said, man, is that Memo Rodriguez bounced back with one hell of an assist not much later than that.
He
plays well, too. I do kind of like him. I do think he was mismatched here and kind of got beasted, and they were able to kick it in off that set piece.
I think what's just confusing to me is like, I'm not going to sit here and say like, I can see something that Peter doesn't. I'm sure Peter's very frustrated by this. I mean, and even in the post game, he says, I didn't like the goal that we gave up. He said, we lost too many balls in that first 10 minutes when they scored, which is true because they kind of started a little bit lackluster and San Jose was definitely more on the front foot. I cannot for the life of me understand. I feel like more often than not, when we give up goals, we're coming on this podcast and talking about, well, we gave up another set piece goal. And it happened earlier off of the Philly corner kick. Like, when I don't typically get scared when I see, like, if I'm rooting for a team in a soccer match and the other team gets a corner kick, I'm like, it's not great, but I'm not sitting here being like, there is a distinct possibility they're going to score right now. Chances are, in most games, the defending team is going to clear the corner or the set piece. I don't feel that way with Sporting. I feel like there's a distinct possibility every time that we might give up a silly goal.
Yeah. Dude, on the other hand, though, I mean, you got to talk both these moments here, because while they had a set piece, you're thinking, oh, shit, man, this is a legit scoring opportunity for them. You know, we're not great at these. We haven't been for a minute. But then, like, to turn around and go on the other end, and we have, like, a corner kick. Mm-hmm. I think I was checking my watch and missed what happened.
No.
Because I didn't expect anything to happen, because we don't really score off those moments either.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just two surprise. I mean, one not so surprising, and the second one was surprising. And I don't know, man. It's just wild. It was exciting for sure. You know,
it is. It was a very exciting, and it was a very good response by Sporting KC, because to go down early in the 11th minute and to have some concerns about the offensive output. This team is not necessarily one that's like a high caliber, high octane offense that's easy to score and come back from behind. So to continue to respond, and then, 6 minutes after they scored their goal, Memo takes the corner kick, Danny Rosero comes flying in, and just an absolutely perfect header. Like you mentioned before, there's not a chance in hell Daniel's going to make that. It's right at the cauldron end. Danny's standing up and he's doing the, you know, are you not entertained pose, staring at the cauldron. He is the first real set piece corner kick weapon I think we've had truly since Icopar, because we just haven't had one.
It feels like that, man. He can do it. I mean, hasn't all his goals been headers?
I think so. He's got 3 goals in his career. But there's been times too where even if he hasn't scored a goal, he's gotten good contact on the ball. He's put it on frame. He forces a save. He forces the defense to account for him. If you can get it on there, especially at the close range that he did, even if Daniel somehow got a hand on it, there's always the chance of a rebound. There's a chance of a deflection. There's a chance of just something happening to make it a goal. And so I really enjoy watching his athleticism in the box.
I think it goes, I mean,
I was going to do it here in just a minute. And here, let's do this. Before we make him our toast of the match, spoiler alert, it's Danny Rosero. He's the toast of the match. Just about 11 minutes later, there was an absolutely gorgeous stunner of a goal. And you know who springs this goal? It's our toast of the match, Danny Rosero. I got my vodka soda here again. Danny Rosero, instead of playing it sideways, like we sometimes do along the back line, he looks up and he sees Eric Tommy tracking back, but 20, 30 yards upfield, and he sends it to Tommy, who immediately springs Alan Pulido. And that's it, it's the vision from Danny Rosero seeing Tommy, instead of just deciding, oh, I'm going to kick it out wide, or I'm going to kick the short, easy pass to Nemanja Radia. This play started because Danny Rosero sprung it forward and had the field vision. So for that, Danny Rosero, not only are you team of the match day, you're the No Other Pod toast of the match.
There it is.
Good for you.
Woo. This also showed some pretty good grit to fight back from an early deficit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not only were you down early in the game, but now you're ahead and it's still the first half, which kind of made the second half feel a little boring, because no other goals happened, you know?
No other goals. That's the upcoming podcast from No Other Pod now. but I want to marvel at this goal for a second here, because if you look at the entire sequence, and Matt Doyle actually wrote about this on Major League Soccer, and he had a whole sort of breakdown of exactly what happened with this goal. And he talks about Eric Tommy dropping back to receive the pass, Alan Pulido dropping into Tommy's spot. That opens up opportunities for Shallowy to go central and Jake Davis to push up. He said, There is an element of freelancing to all of this, but it's freelancing within a really well-drilled and ruthlessly regimented structure. And when it comes off, it is just the most beautiful thing to watch. And I think that's true. And he talked about it. And then also Jonathan Siegel for MLS Soccer, they both used this phrase when describing this goal. They said, quote, champagne football. And I think that's what it was, because it was a 17 pass sequence that took nearly a minute, and so many people touched that ball. They were in the right place at the right time, and it ends with a just absolutely gorgeous give and go between Jake Davis and Johnny Russell. And then John used a beautiful little assist flick to back to Alan Pulido, who's a runner into the box by the penalty spot. We had numbers in the box, and he just finishes it like we hope an $11 million striker would.
You know, and I know we're new at this, but I do want to point out that our holiday distillery toast of the match went to Danny Rosero. I know we didn't. You got to mention holiday distillery, bro.
It's true. I appreciate you.
You just can't say toast of the match. Everyone's like, well, okay, so Jimmy drinks. Good job.
Yeah, no, you're right. That's a good call. Shout out. Let's do it again. Danny Rosero, holiday distillery.
There it is.
Appreciate you.
This was rehearsed. This was practiced on the pitch, though, by the way, the play. Like, when I saw it happen, you're like, oh, they do this shit in training. They 100% practice this little, you know, Johnny Russell just giving a little flip and Alan Pulido hitting it first time right there in the center. Why was Pulido not marked? There was two guys there. They should have been, like, in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
That was crazy. They would just drop back into the goal and they got beasted.
He just kind of drifts off the back shoulder of the defender. He sort of overruns the penalty spot, and he's standing closer to that six-yard line. And then when they're all staring and ball-watching at Johnny Russell, Alan Pulido just subtly drifts back to the penalty spot. He's standing there wide open. Absolutely perfect little flick from Johnny Russell. Couldn't have asked for it better. So, real good. And I'm glad Pulido didn't overthink it and try to settle it too much and then turn it. He just, boom, instinct. And that's what you want from your striker.
I love when the guy who assisted immediately goes and celebrates with the guy who scored.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of the team comes and it's like, no, we're having our moment. Go away. We did this.
Yeah. Sometimes, well, actually, you know what one of my favorite things about celebrations are? Because the Pulido finish obviously was good. But when the rest of the team, before they run to the guy who scored the goal, when they run to the guy who set it up with the assist. And in this case, it was a whole series of team things. So it wasn't just necessarily just Johnny. But like, there are some plays where like, Jake's made a hell of a run and then sent in a cross, and he didn't end up being the one who scored, but they all look and they're like, that doesn't happen unless Jake does what he did.
Oh yeah. Johnny put that on a dime, dude. Like, he just blooped it on over there. It didn't overshoot. It was like right, he put it right on Polito's foot. It was outstanding.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm gushing.
So it ends the first half 2-1. I'm certainly not thinking 2-1's the final score of the game.
I'm
feeling okay, but I'm thinking we need at least one more goal to secure this 3 points.
Yeah, you would think so. Just listen, I already saw almost one comeback that day. All right, Portland was doing their thing against KC Current. I was like, holy shit. But now I saw 12 soccer goals all day, my friend. I saw the women put together 9, another 3 at Sporting. What more can you ask for if you're a person who likes goals?
You could have asked for a 13th goal, and San Jose tried in the 82nd minute.
It tried.
It started with a set piece from Christian Espinoza. And again, set pieces. This is terrifying. Now, this one was a little far out. So I wasn't sitting here thinking like, okay, this is likely to end in a goal. I was actually okay with this one. He sends the ball into the box. It ends up just sort of a free ball. Falls to the San Jose player. He puts it into the back of the net. It's 2-2. And then I don't know that I've ever really seen a stadium, at least at one end of the stadium over the Cauldron end, in almost complete unison and with more vigor and conviction than I've seen, just in unison say, that was not a goal. That was a handball.
The moment they showed the replay, the whole stadium was in on it, you know?
Yes, 100%.
Except for the person running the stadium graphics told us that VAR was actually checking for offsides, and we're like, okay, but it's a handball, right? Like, what are we talking about?
Well, and, you know, it is possible. I was wondering if it was offside, and it was close, but there were no angle to determine if it would have been actually offside. If that was the only thing that happened, it would have stood. It was very, very obviously off of a San Jose arm.
It was. But people listening to this maybe don't know that it was actually being checked for a handball, because if you're watching the highlights, if you're watching on Apple TV+, they were checking for a possible handball. But then when it was over, when it was overturned, they said offsides in the stadium.
They did. On the board, it said offside. Now, if we didn't have the ref strike and we had regular pro referees here, this wouldn't be an issue because they would have had the new procedure in place where the ref would have come over and announced this, the decision to the stadium, where he would have said, after review, we determined that the ball did hit the forearm of a San Jose player, number 94, and therefore no goal.
Is that not a thing with replacement refs? They don't do that?
They didn't. They're not implementing that. They're also not implementing the new timekeeping rules where if you don't get off the field with a sub within 10 seconds or if you're down on the field with injury for more than 15 seconds, you have to stay off for 2 minutes. They decided not to implement those rules with the scab refs.
Really?
Yeah.
For what reason? Because they're incapable of counting to 10?
Apparently. They didn't think they could handle it.
Oh, my God.
And you know what? Based on what I've seen on the field, I'm not sure they could handle it.
I guess you're right. I mean, you just got to be happy that you were able to secure this victory and not have it be decided in some last-minute tomfoolery against Philadelphia Union.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I want to say they're doing their best, but I don't really know if that's the case. But we got it done, man, and it feels good.
Yeah, I mean, I believe they're trying their best. I believe they're just in way over their head, and they're just not at the level they need to be. And what is really interesting is, look, we've come on here and we've complained about regular referees, the PSRA referees that typically ref games for pro. People across the league have complained about pro referees before. I don't know that this is going to prevent those complaints from happening in the future whenever they do come back. But I am curious. I do think this almost does give, in a weird way, a new appreciation from the fans toward the regular referees, because I don't want to be a referee. It's a terribly hard job. It's impossible to do without making some poor decisions. But the rate at which poor decisions are being made, game-changing poor decisions are being made with the replacement referees as opposed to the regular referees, it's out of control, and it's actually starting to hit a boiling point almost. Tom Bogert put up an article on The Athletic where he was saying that frustration with MLS replacement referees is starting to boil over, and he had quote after quote after quote from coaches, from players, just citing incidents where they felt like the game was taken from them because the referee is just not up to par. Maya Yoshida from the LA Galaxy, he's the captain, and they're coming to play here this weekend. He goes, I'm going to get fined. I hope PSRA make a deal with the league as soon as possible. That's a shame. That's it. Because he felt like they were hard done in what ended up being a late 3-3 draw with St. Louis City. And that was not unique to him. There were a number of people, coaches, players, throughout the weekend. You can go see Bogert's article. This is not does anybody notice that the refs are gone, like Bleacher Report and MLS wanted you to see a couple weeks ago? This is becoming more and more of a problem.
I'm telling you, man. Dude, we're going to do a little roundtable here, but it was an exciting weekend for MLS, and all the games were free on MLS Season Pass. There were some wild freaking games.
Yeah, there were. There's lots to talk about. Wild games, wild goals. It was pretty nuts. Before we do talk about that, we do want to, again, shout out Danny Rosero because he was on the team of the match day. Is that the first Sporting player this year to be on team of the match day?
Yeah, I think so.
I think it might be. Obviously, well-deserved. We don't have any more information yet. Johnny Russell did come out of the game with what appeared to be potentially an ankle injury.
Don't like that.
It's hard to know. He came out pretty immediately. Stephen Afrifa checked in for him, and Johnny, I saw him talk to Peter a little bit. Peter, I think, kind of probably was asking him, what happened. And Johnny immediately went to the locker room. He didn't sit there. He didn't sit on the bench. He went to the locker room. Now, he seemed in good spirits after the game when I saw him in the locker room. He didn't have, a cast on or an air cast or anything. So, who knows? Peter didn't have any more information. But that's my concern with somebody like Johnny, who's getting up there in age, who's missed some games in the last couple of years, is what's your backup plan?
Well, what if he was hurt? Maybe he could have still played, but Peter said, no, I'm taking you out. And maybe Johnny was just kind of pissed.
I think Johnny took himself out.
He did. Okay.
Because the way he sat on the bench or on the ground after he hurt himself, and he kind of looked like, it didn't look like he was
Okay.
I think he hurt himself. There was one point where he sort of stretched for a ball on the south stand end, trying to get across, and he and Daniel kind of were near each other. Daniel, the San Jose goalkeeper.
Yeah.
I think he kind of hurt it there because it was a few seconds later where he just kind of went down on the field and he looked over and I think he was like, I'm done. So we'll see.
Hope it's not bad.
I hope it's not either. I hope it's not. I hope it's not whatever's going on with Messi, because Messi's going to miss at least a few Argentina friendlies while he's injured, and still potentially might end up missing the April 13th game against Sporting Kansas City. So whatever's going on with Johnny, I hope it's not as bad as whatever's going on with Messi. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad we got Arrowhead Stadium ready to welcome all for Luis Suarez, you know?
I mean, people wanted to spend $150 to see Robert Taylor, so.
Yeah, pretty much.
There are 9 unbeaten teams in MLS left. Sporting Kansas City is one of them. You know who else is one of them? The Los Angeles Galaxy. And they're coming to town this Saturday night, 7:30 p.m. at Children's Mercy Park. Both of these teams are 1-0-3. This is another big game for Sporting Kansas City. The last 3 games they've played with the LA Galaxy, 2 of which have been on the road, and then the one that was here in March of 2023, have all ended in draws, 2-2, 0-0, and 2-2. So these have been relatively evenly matched teams. LA, like you said, had a pretty wild game with St. Louis City. They have a pretty decent lineup. Ricky Pooge is one of the better, if not the best, midfielder outside of Lionel Messi in the entire league.
Yeah.
They're a very good team. The Galaxy had to come back, and they ended up drawing level 3-3 thanks to a Yoshida goal in the 90-plus-5th minute. Caceres got a red card in the 90-minute plus 9. So how are you feeling with a historic powerhouse that's been a little bit more down in recent years coming to Children's Mercy Park?
Hey, they're dropping 3 goals on a St. Louis team. You know what I mean? St. Louis is also unbeaten.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just they clearly know how to score. I don't think our 2 goals, I don't think we can rest on that by scoring twice in a game. But it's at home. You should feel good. I don't know, man. LA is going to be hungry as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be a pretty even matchup, really. Wonder if we'll get Fontas back. Be interesting to hear about Johnny and if he's progressing. I'm sure we'll get some kind of midweek update when they do that. Other than that, man, I don't know. I'm not going to say I'm optimistic, but I'm not exactly the most pessimistic.
Yeah, I mean, through 4 games, the Galaxy have scored 9 goals, so they're averaging just over 2 goals per game. They have not allowed a clean sheet this year. There have been goals by both teams in every game. They started off against Miami 1-1. It was the first game of the year. Then they beat San Jose in San Jose 3-1, drew Nashville 2-2, and now have drawn St. Louis 3-3. So this is an offense, again, with the strings pulled by Ricky Pooge. He may be the best midfielder that Sporting play all year, especially if Lionel Messi does not play on April 13th. This is going to be a massive challenge for Sporting Kansas City. They need to control the midfield. They need to make sure that Ricky Pooge can't just have his way with the Sporting Kansas City midfield and pull strings creatively left and right. But I think you're right. If Sporting want to get a result out of this game, if they want to get a win out of this game, minimum 2 goals. It's just, this is a high-octane offense that I think it's going to be hard to hold to a clean sheet. It'd be great if they could, but I'm not going to be surprised if the Galaxy get 1 or 2 goals. So we're looking at 2 or 3 goals from a team that has only scored 2 goals once through 4 games to potentially get a win at home.
Yeah, I'm not going to be surprised if we get upset, man. If we get a little home spoiler, you know, it's very possible.
That would be a real bummer because, you know, we talked about this last week. This is sort of the beginning of a home stretch that Sporting Kansas City has where they could potentially earn a lot of points because, 5 of 6 games at home, I think, with the trip to Toronto there in the middle next week after the LA Galaxy before you come back for 3 home games. And the 3 home games you're coming back with aren't the easiest: Portland, Miami, and St. Louis. Those are going to be high, you know, octane, high emotion games.
Yeah,
so this is a pretty important game for Sporting Kansas City to try to get three 3 points off of. If they can get 3 points off the Galaxy, that will be 6 points through the first two games of this six-game stretch. I think I said 11 or 12 points through these six games would be considered a success. If you can get halfway there through the first two games, it's pretty good. So
it'd be good.
I agree with you. I don't think I can sit here and just say I feel confident that we're coming out with 3 points. This is not that kind of game. They're certainly capable of it, but they're also capable of sort of laying an egg and having the Galaxy come in and have their way. So we'll see. In other news around the league, like you said, there were some crazy, crazy results, crazy games throughout the league. Did you see what happened in Chicago and how Chicago ultimately ended up getting the win against Montreal?
Listen, they had like a 90-minute equalizer, 3-3 against Montreal, 90 minutes. You're like, cool, they're going to draw this game. And then it goes into
Montreal's
like a 90.
On a red card.
Yeah. Then it goes into like a 97th minute. Mm-hmm. And Kellen Acosta hits this shot from his own freaking half of the field. The XG was 3%. and they win the game. It's insane. It's everything you could ask for from a last-minute heroics like that.
Yeah.
It's crazy, man. It was absolutely bonkers. And that was the first game on Saturday. Very cool.
Have you seen the angle of the Kellen Acosta goal? I think I retweeted this from the Chicago Fire goal where you could see the curve which this ball took. Because he hits it from, you know, 7-8 yards deep within his own territory. And when he kicks it, it's flying at an angle basically toward the corner flag. Like it is off to the side. He's certainly not taking this as a shot. And then the wind, I guess, just kind of picks it and carries it. And this was some poor goalkeeping by Montreal. I'm not going to sit here and say this was world-class goalkeeping. But this ball certainly caught a little bit of wind. It curved like I have not seen, and it just floated right over the goalkeeper, and it might be up for goal of the year when it gets to end of the season, but I would argue that it also should be up for maybe howler of the year by the goalkeeper just because of his poor positioning. I don't know, man.
Dude, I don't even on their goal where they tied it up 3-3, I'm like, I can't believe that went in either. Like the ball just bounced around and got plucked in there. But I'm watching this winning goal right now. It's actually the 99th minute. My bad.
Yeah.
And he's not shooting. He's not shooting.
There's not a chance he's shooting.
So I don't know what the Windy City did here. The Windy City did something.
Yep.
And Kellen Acosta over here celebrating like, yeah, I meant to do that. No, the hell you did not. There's no way.
Yeah. Not a chance. But
I'm watching it over and over now. It's unbelievable.
It's mesmerizing, honestly.
It is, because he's clearly, like, passing to the wing.
He's just trying to send the ball up so they can send it in, and the wind just takes it.
And I can't blame the goalkeeper, because the goalkeeper's like, all right, oh, shit.
it's rough. But
were there all players on the bench were just like, are you serious?
Oh, I can't imagine. I cannot imagine.
Wild.
Just all.
Dude, you see any of the Champions Cup in the middle of the week? I mean, Columbus is going forward. Philadelphia went into like they had no goals against Pachuca,
6-0.
And then continued that run and let Pachuca just lay a touchdown on them.
Yeah, that
Lakers
was not...
moving on. You got to root for your MLS, right? You do that?
Yeah, I root for MLS. Yeah. Tigres moving on over Orlando, Pachuca moving on over Philadelphia, Monterrey moving on over Cincinnati.
New England moving on, right?
I believe New England's moving on, and Miami's moving on. It wasn't great. A lot of the MLS teams that were playing Liga MX teams got knocked out, 3 of the 4. So not a banner week for MLS in the Champions Cup, but there's still a couple of teams in there to represent for MLS.
Sure. And also worth mentioning that the way the next stage of those games line up, there's two legs to them. Mm-hmm. And the leg two will actually be 3 days before Miami comes to Arrowhead. In Monterrey. So you can all but assume we will not see Messi at Arrowhead.
He's certainly not going to start.
Well, and you think because they're doing that right now, man. He's been playing midweek, and they kind of try to rest him a little bit later. And
especially if he's starting to get injured.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's sad. You this was a possibility, right? When this Arrowhead Stadium thing happened, and you gotta see it through, though, man. It's gonna be fun regardless. It's a soccer game, right?
It'll be fun. I just feel bad for the people who spent hundreds of dollars on tickets to see Lionel Messi, because that's sort of how Sporting Kansas City marketed it. And again, this is the risk: he might not play.
Will we get a chance? We want refunds. Will that happen?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Columbus is really good, by the way. We got to throw that out there. Columbus is freaking great.
Turns out the defending MLS champions are a good soccer team.
Still good. They're not falling off. Minnesota might be pretty good, too.
They finally got
LAFC
from Manchester United, who also, by the way, had an insane win in the FA Cup against Liverpool.
Yeah.
So that was pretty wild. There's some good teams in the West. You know, I think it seems as if Miami's healthy, as much as I hate to say it, at least now, they're probably the top team in the East. But the question is, will Messi and Suarez be able to stay healthy for the entire year? I'm not convinced.
Yeah, I mean, dude, in your Western Conference right now, you still got three winless teams.
Mm-hmm.
And that's San Jose, Seattle,
surprise,
and Austin. Seattle's a surprising one for me.
Mm-hmm.
I saw they haven't got a win yet, and that's wild. And there's also three teams in the East, Philly, which is kind of surprising, Orlando and New England, who's putting it all out there for Champions Cup,
right,
but not getting it done where it counts here in the league.
Yeah. So, I mean, MLS, it's a league of parity.
Yep.
So we'll see.
And it's fun, dude. I love watching these other games, too, and seeing crazy shit happen.
Yeah, and there could be more parity coming, because Peter sort of hinted at a midweek interview that there might be some roster rules that change mid-season that are going to open up the ability to sign more players for more money. And he didn't give specifics, but that's certainly something to keep an eye on. Rumors about, you know, sort of uncoupling the U22 player from the DP usage. There's some potentially interesting changes coming to the MLS roster rules, maybe mid-season, which is kind of weird. You had a whole offseason to do it. I don't know why you wouldn't do it in the offseason. So,
dude, some exciting stuff to look ahead, though, at this coming week. You got CONCACAF Nations League starting up.
Mm-hmm.
USA plays Thursday. Yeah,
Thursday night. How do you feel about those new U.S. men's and U.S. women's national team kits?
They're dumb.
Really?
What? Come on, they're generic. Why?
Oh, I was going to say these are my favorite ones that they've had in years.
They haven't, like, really done anything nuts, man. I'd rather go with, like, the, I don't know, like, all the new jerseys are looking a little lackluster if they're Nike.
Have you seen Norway's?
No, but I did see Korea's, which looks pretty cool.
Korea's is cool. Look up Norway's. Norway's is pretty darn cool.
Okay.
France always has good jerseys, but France has some good ones, too. I actually think the away kit for the U.S., it's like a pseudo bomb pop kit, like a take on it, a little more tie-dye version. I like it. And I really do like the white shirt with the red sleeves and the red and blue collar. I think that one looks kind of cool. I might buy that one.
I don't know, man. Everything just looks basic, dude. Brazil, basic. Canada, basic. China, basic.
Canada was modeled after a Tim Hortons cup.
Yeah. England, basic. Like, well, what are we doing? France, okay, I guess that white one's kind of different. Netherlands has a different one, but all these others, man. Nigeria crushing the game as usual.
Korea's is great, but have you gone to
Norway?
Norway's fire.
Yeah, I see that. I don't care about the white one.
No, but their
Holland sucks. Portugal has a decent one.
You got any Norwegian in you? Because you might want to rock that Norway jersey.
I do have some Norwegian in me, absolutely. Man. But yeah, this U.S. one, I mean, that dude. That is exactly Casey Current's jersey, almost, where the teal bleeds into the shorts. They now have the red bleeding into the shorts.
Speaking of,
it's just recycled.
Shout out to the Current. Look what they had on press box seats.
Oh, shit. You got a jersey?
I got a jersey. It's a replica.
Wow.
I'm going to have to make sure I continue to hit the gym a little bit to make sure I fit into this one. But
okay.
Shout out to Current for giving me a jersey.
I had no idea. Very cool.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. I don't know, man. It's a wild week of soccer. It's been a wild week. It'll continue to be a wild week. Just good vibes in the Kansas City soccer scene. One thing I forgot to mention that I just do think is funny is, did you see in the ESPN interview, I tweeted this out, and this is not what he says, but I'm going to choose to say it's what he said. When Patrick and Brittany Mahomes were asked about would they get Taylor Swift out to a Kansas City Current game, and he was like, she's real busy. Travis is real busy. Maybe sometime we can get her out here in the season. He tried to say she loves supporting Kansas City just like we do. But he said it so fast that the first time I watched it, I thought he said she loves sporting Kansas City the way we do.
It sounds like that, 100%.
Holy shit, Taylor Swift is a sporting Kansas City fan.
Yeah. I mean, it sounded like a flub, right? But supporting Kansas City does sound a lot better.
Well, I was really confused because I was like, why is he bringing up sporting at a current game? Like, that seems kind of weird. Like, let's let the focus be on. Yeah. And why would he be a huge sporting Kansas City fan? That doesn't make sense to me either. But then someone pointed out, they're like, says supporting Kansas City. But I choose to believe that she also is a sporting KC fan.
Yeah. So, I mean, I saw her in a jersey that was totally not photoshopped at all.
Oh, yeah. It was on Twitter, so it had to be real.
Yeah. She's probably listening to this right now, which, hey, I watched the Eras Tour Friday night and had a hell of a time. Real good show.
Yeah. So.
You watched that yet?
I haven't watched it yet, no. I need to watch it.
Okay. I mean, bro, 3.5 hours. Just block off your night.
Yeah, I will. I'm currently rewatching through the MonsterVerse. Get ready for the new King Kong and Godzilla.
Oh, we're starting that this weekend. We just finished our Ghostbusters rewatch.
Yeah. So I think that's about all we got. You got anything else for our good listeners?
That's it, man. I was trying to look at other games to say what I'll be kind of paying attention to this weekend, but nothing really.
Nothing
such boxes. Maybe Red Bulls in Miami could be a fun one.
Although Messi won't be playing.
It's pretty bad, though, that no matter who Miami is playing, you kind of pay attention. They just have that feel.
LAFC in Nashville, that one could be fun. San Jose in Seattle, someone's trying to get back on track.
Hey, there you go.
That's a good one. So
that'd be one to watch late Saturday night. And I think KC Current played late Saturday night too. So it's an evening of soccer.
Yeah. Cincy, New York, that could be a good one, but it is an Eastern Conference game. It's harder to get as excited for that because it just doesn't impact sporting as much. So
yeah.
But well, thank you all so much for listening. We're super pumped to have Victory Pods back. Again, shout out to the Kansas City Current for what they did opening CPKC Stadium. Excited to get out there more. Make sure you check out Currently tomorrow so you can hear the entire breakdown from Dan and Chris. Talk about Temwa Chawinga and what's exciting about her and what's to come. I'm looking forward to it. Make sure you leave a 5-star rating and review for us on the KCSN Soccer Channel on Apple Podcasts. We like to read it. Get us more publicity. Get more people finding the podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at nootherpod, at Dan Kuser, at JCMac03. Shoot us an email, nootherpod@gmail.com, or check us out on YouTube at KCSN Soccer. But until next time, he's Dan. I'm Jimmy. We'll catch y'all later. See ya.
Victory Pod, baby.
Thank you for listening to KC Sports Network. We appreciate your support. Don't forget to hit that follow button and leave us a review if you like what you heard. You can find all 6 of our channels covering the Chiefs, Royals, Sporting KC, and the KC Current, plus KU, K-State, or Mizzou by searching KCSN wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on YouTube. Entertain. Educate. Inform. KC Sports Network.